Welcome to Marvel Champions Podcast, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game. I'm your host, Scott, and with me, as always, my co-host, Ryan.
All right, Scott, I am ready to talk about one of the things that, when this game originally started, one of the things I looked for the most.
Ooh, do tell, do tell.
So, when this was announced many years ago, it's years now, isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
When I first played it with you, I was like, oh, this is it. It's just like beating up a villain. The reason why I felt that way was because I came from a background of the Lord of the Rings card game and also the Arkham Horror card game. You know, that's the same company, similar concepts in all of those.
Some even same designers.
Yes, yes, that's correct. Some cross designing. And so when I played those, it's very story driven. You go through, like, I guess in the concept of Marvel Champions, you go through different schemes in a way, and they tell a story, and you got to make progression. And I really enjoyed those, that story element and going through an adventure. And Marvel Champions really didn't have that in that first core box. I mean, they kind of did, because the three scenarios in there are kind of connected. But when I heard that they were coming out with a new campaign box, I was pretty excited.
Yeah, and I want to say the first wave, too. It was like core box and then wave one. So you had a ton of heroes, but not as many villains.
Yep, 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 yep.
But so, hold on 1 second. I want to give some credit where credit's due.
I was going to do that too.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you, by all means, go.
Just wanted to shout out, we had a listener reach out to us, Mr. Thomas. He asked about campaigns. He kind of wanted to see what our thoughts on campaigns were and what we think about campaigns as a whole and whether we like them, dislike them, what we think about some of the concepts within the campaigns, how each of the campaigns kind of differ a little bit, and we thought that was a great idea to talk about. So thank you, Thomas, for reaching out and letting us kind of talk about campaigns.
That's right. So let's start off with the first, the OG, the rise of Red Skull.
OG. I remember when this one came out and we were going to get, like, to do the campaign. I remember we went and did this one in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, playing it as a campaign from start to finish was, in my opinion, was really cool. Because I didn't come from that background of those other two LCGs to kind of get that feel of how the stories kind of would go from one to another, or impact, yep, reward, penalty, anything like that. So when we played this and, like, we finished it, I felt like I had accomplished something in my life.
It took this long for you to accomplish something.
Yes. Now, I will say, small spoiler break here. If you've not played The Rise of Red Skull as a campaign, you know, we will talk about some concepts and different things that may spoil your experience. So pause here, go play it, then come back.
It's true. And we're not going to go over, like, the individual scenarios, like, hardcore. I mean, we could do that a different time, but we're very much focused on the actual campaign aspect of this first one. And then we will likely do future campaign boxes as the episodes continue to flow.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the Red Skull campaign?
I was very excited when this came out, and playing it, I thought it was really fun to do it in one sitting. If you can do a campaign in one sitting, that's the way to experience it. If you have to break it up, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, but it's really designed to play straight through.
Because you kind of keep that level of, like, game enjoyment and excitement on, like, a kind of positive trend. And if you have to, like, stop and then trying to pick back up, you're not starting at that same kind of level of excitement and what you've kind of built up already to that point.
So I think let's just are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. So the first scenario was Crossbones, and the campaign aspect of it is he introduced the well, I guess it's not necessarily campaign aspect, 'cause his scenario you do include the experimental weapon. But it's the, I guess the concept after is the campaign part.
Yeah, so he has a particular encounter set that has the potential to, well, at least one piece of it at a minimum will follow you throughout the whole campaign. So what did you think about that? Like, you felt that if you kind of got a real bad one game of Crossbones, that it was going to potentially impact you for the rest of the campaign?
Yeah, I think that was great. I think it made you, I mean, technically, if you don't read ahead, you don't know that those attachments will continue to follow you. So you may play it differently, but once you know it, you're like, oh, we need to keep them on that first scheme as long as possible to try to avoid that continuation of those attachments.
So you bring up a good point, Ryan. When you're talking about campaigns and campaign rules, do you as a player try and stay as blind to what's moving forward as possible? Or do you kind of, take a little peek ahead?
I generally try to stay more blind, even like before we even play the campaigns. Like you may see some of the like content that comes out, like content creator spoilers that they do and whatnot, and you'll look. But sometimes I won't because I don't want to be spoiled on what happens on the campaign because I
Dang.
want to experience it fresh.
Throw me under the bus.
Hey, I mean, you like knowing that. I mean, how many times have you texted me like, "Hey, do you want to know what happens?"
Now, so kudos to me. I do preference it like that. So I'm not that guy.
Normally, if it's just like, one of the other podcasts, gets a card and they reveal it, and I don't really care for that. But if it's about like the story and the campaign cards, I'm kind of a little more hesitant to look into it.
I will agree. Most of the ones I'm like, hey, look at this ally that they revealed, right? Which has like very little, unless it's like a campaign ally, I guess. But let's say like a one of the player decks. I'm with you on that one. But the other thing I was going to touch on this is, and I don't know if it's just us playing the game and liking the game and how our minds think through, maybe some of the development of the game. But there's almost some times where like I feel like I know what they're gonna be trying to key in on, and we can kind of game the game to our benefit in that way. Be like, oh, this villain has this special thing with counters. We probably should have zero counters when we in the game.
No, that's absolutely true. You kind of get into the this is how designers design it. And you do that. You're like, well, we need to make sure there's no threat on this game or there's no minions in play because you have this feeling that they might come back to haunt us. And that's what happens in this scenario is you don't want these weapons to be in play because they're going to haunt you later on.
Right. So that's the one thing with this one is any of the experimental weapons that get added to the encounter deck are going to go on, and I think every single one of the setup is added to the encounter deck at like setup, which is a cool concept. Like, I mean, having an absorbing man with a giant space rifle or whatever one of the experimental weapons is kind of fun that you wouldn't get in, his normal scenario. So I do like that the campaign can, in essence, make some of the villain scenarios slightly different play that you wouldn't normally be able to like get. Well, I mean, I guess you could just add whatever encounter set, but it kind of you're following this guide, I guess.
And in particular, these weapons, they can be pretty nasty especially for certain scenarios. So like if you get a certain one, you're like, oh no, I do not want to see this one go to this villain because it's gonna make life that much harder. So I thought it was fun. I liked the idea. It became frustrating after a while because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm tired of this exosuit. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
But hey, that's, I mean, it's part of the game. It was
Yeah.
okay.
And you play through the campaign again and it's no longer the exosuit, it's his laser rifle or whatever it's officially called. What's it called? It's in here somewhere. Oh, there we go. Yeah, laser rifle.
So Scott, what do how do you feel about the second victory thing you get?
So
The
this one,
upgrades.
I think they, being the first campaign, they were really kind of basic in kind of the concept of what you get. Now, I want to say you get to pick, right? This
Yes, you
one.
get to pick one of the four tech upgrades. And that's a key word, tech, because that was very beneficial for Iron Man at the time.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
It was like a cheat code.
I felt like they all kind of did their own little thing, and you typically, when there's typically four, because the four player game, up to four player game, one's usually like something to do with attack or defense or thwarting or health or something like that. I thought they were good. I think it was a struggle for some because like these first ones you get are like a one and done. Some of the wording was a little confusing because you like discarded it, but like once you've used it, it's pretty much done for the entire campaign.
Got to remove it from the campaign log. That was the big phrase.
Right. And with this one, it was, it was nice to know like that it was out there and you could use it as like caught off guard fodder if you needed to. But then there was some of that like balance of like, do I just hang on to it and go to the next one? Do I really need to play it? If you never hit a scenario where you needed to use it, you have the potential of like completely wasting it, or at least getting to like the very end scenario and being like, well, I haven't played it so far. I might as well do it because it's the last scenario.
Yeah, I mean they're all four of those are pretty decent, so.
Yeah, they were definitely like a big benefit. I mean, because you could add it to anything that you could make yourself better or fill in, whatever your weakness was.
Yeah. No, I think in this particular one, I think it made it nice. Number one, and we've talked about it before, it's got the setup, that keyword, which is I don't know why it's not on hero card. But I think once you use it, yeah, it doesn't have the benefit, but it still has that setup keyword. You could use it again. No, I guess you can't
No,
because
when you
you have
remove it,
to.
because it says,
You
look,
remove it from the log, right? Yeah.
right. And once it's removed from the log, you technically, when it tells you to go look at the log, and if you have that card, put
Add
it in the
that card.
setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you said, sometimes I found myself just kind of using it until like the very end to make life easier. Unless we're really in like a tough spot, but this particular campaign wasn't the most difficult one.
I would say that for the first half.
Yeah,
The first couple
that's for sure.
scenarios you go through, but then I would say the tail end is where some of the difficulty picks up for this one.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I thought it was for a first scenario, you get the attachments that carry on, and you get some basically one shot upgrades. I thought that was fine.
Good.
Yeah.
What it was.
So let's move on to scenario two. There really isn't any campaign setup. And I should mention to everyone, we're talking about standard campaign, not the expert. We have done expert on this one, but I think overall, we're just going to talk about standard here.
Yeah, for the most part. Because, well, granted, the expert does add in some more complexity. Go out and take a look at some of those expert campaign only rules or whatever.
Yeah. So this one, there really isn't any extra setup. You just put whatever experimental cards you recorded, and then you put any cards that are in your log that keyword, the tech upgrades, basically. And that's it. And you just go.
That's it.
And
So what did you
yeah.
think about the negative of Absorbing Man? Do you
Let
remember
me
what that is,
see.
right?
It's the delay counters, I believe.
Right. So you record the number of delay counters that he had at the end of the game. And like, it doesn't do anything like now, but like, I found when we did our playthroughs, what we'll get to eventually is this one can be like really devastating.
I think we played one where for some reason we just couldn't kill him and we got so many delay counters, and I do remember it being an issue later on.
Right.
But more than we should have gotten, but somehow we got that many.
I would say, well, probably an average game, because he adds it only on the villain phase. You're probably averaging probably like, what, six, seven, eight, maybe? Something like that.
I guess I don't remember. I haven't played Absorbing Man in a while. I
Well, I
should.
mean, thinking of his rounds, probably stayed in a hero farm a whole bunch. Yeah, I would say between six and eight is probably an average playthrough.
That sounds about right. So that's one thing you got to do after you win, is those delay counters. And the other one is one of my favorite campaign upgrades in any campaign. You get the basic condition upgrades from the campaign set.
Yeah, what did you think about those?
I really liked them. When we first got them, I was like, oh yeah. I
All
love that
right.
you got your basic, your plus one Thor, plus one attack, plus one defense, plus one recovery, but it also gave you health. And that was a big factor on which one to choose. I don't know if I ever truly got the like the recovery upgrade. But I mean, thinking about it, I'm more apt to get it with some of these other heroes. But most of the time I got the Thor one. But I liked it. You got health and you got a basic increase. That's a win-win for to me.
Yeah, these were nice.
And it's permanent.
Yeah, and setup.
And setup.
Yeah, I like these. These were a fun addition to see, to be out and be like, this is nice. This is gonna follow me for the whole campaign. So I guess up to this point, we really haven't had too much like villain increase. I want to say at this point, I feel like the heroes almost have a bigger advantage over the villains.
No, I agree. I think at this point you're kind of dominating. So going into the third scenario, hopefully things will start to change, but not a whole lot.
No, they don't. Because really, the setup's the same. You search for your cards that have the setup, and then you go grab the experimental weapons that are recorded from scenario one.
But I will say I do like this one, because it's different than just, all right, here's another card that you have, which I mean technically it is, but it's all about the scenario itself. How would I say this? It really blends in with the scenario, the campaign.
Yeah. You're talking about the reward you get, or the potential reward.
Yes. For Taskmaster, you have the chance to get the allies that you're saving, and they're pretty strong allies.
So, if you don't know that you're going to be able to keep them, would you just, I would hope that you probably saved at least one or two along the course of the scenario. But if you didn't know you got them, it's a nice little surprise, right? But then I guess if you go back through and play, does a grind session to try and get every single one of those to come out with the potential knowing that you're going to lose, could lose, worth grinding them out to try and get all four of them?
Maybe not in solo. But for us, I mean, it's not that. Let me rephrase. With the card pool at the time, it was a little harder, but still very doable. With the current
With your
card
favorite
pool,
card in the game.
yes, it is very easy and very beneficial.
Yeah, I would agree on that one.
But I mean, they're really strong. They're all zero cost, and once you save them after you win the scenario, you get to keep them and a zero cost ally, and they all do some pretty good stuff. Like the stats are good. They are very much a win.
This was always the like downside of playing with you, because you would play Justice a whole bunch, and you would always end up with like three, and I would only have like one.
Any problems with that?
I find problems with that.
I think I do remember my first playthrough. I got White Tiger, the Thwarter one, and I liked that a lot.
Yeah, they're all decent. Yeah, they're all good allies.
I'm just waiting for when are these heroes coming out? The hero for hires. Come
Oh,
on.
geez. Just like the rest of the community, when you're
It's
street level
if we all want
heroes.
it, there's probably a reason. Because they need to come out with them.
Yeah. I mean, right there's a whole cycle. You got two male characters and two female characters. Boom. That was easy.
The scenario really is not a whole lot of crazy campaign things, just another here's more cards. Have fun.
Yeah, and the victory's the same. Like we said, you get to keep the allies. Woohoo! Yeah. So yet again, the heroes are much more benefiting from a campaign than the villains are. And I think that's maybe just kind of like that first campaign growing pains.
It definitely seems like they overestimated the power of the experimental weapons. Because one or two experimental weapons do not equal a tech upgrade, the basic conditions, and some allies
Yeah.
at this point in the game.
And because it could be as little as one, or I guess as bad as four experimental weapons just being randomly shuffled into the encounter deck.
Yes. If you're really terrible at that first scenario.
We're looking at you. You know who you are.
That's right. Me. I think I've actually done it. Where I've struggled. Hey, those schemes pop real quick on Crossbone, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about scenario four, Zola, his campaign stuff.
Set
What
up
new thing?
more of the same.
It's the same.
And it's the same.
The same. So nothing really special. So, but I will say his scenario is tougher than the other three, and with the right experimental weapon, it can be really tough. Because like if you have the one that gives him retaliate, that's two retaliate on just his stage one.
Yeah, that's
That's
rough.
pretty rough.
I think this one is where some of the victory really kind of comes into play of
Oh,
potential to
yes.
be banned, because each player engaged with an enemy records their name in the log that they were engaged with an enemy at the end of the game. If
Correct.
the Hydra Prison side scheme is still in play, record the name of each ally underneath it in the campaign log. Those allies cannot be included in any deck for the remainder of the campaign.
There we go.
Yeah, but the remainder of the campaign is one more scenario. And then if the Hydra Prison side scheme is not in play, each player in hero form may replace their basic condition upgrade with its improved side. Now that was a little sneaky there, because if you ended the not knowing and you ended the game in Alter Ego, you would not get that benefit.
I
We could,
know. That's a
I think
sneaky
we
one for sure.
did that. I want to say we did that one time on accident, not remembering that, and one of us was an Alter Ego.
I think you're right. That's kind of lame.
Yeah, but I mean, those heroes, they're the ones that get rewarded. They're all the fame
That's right. That's
and
right.
notoriety. It's just heroes.
So, what do you think of the improved conditions?
I like them. I feel like there's finally some consequences to the game. Your actions finally have some consequences. You know, because Hydra Prison doesn't do anything negative to you, just its existence and being out doesn't do anything. There's no icons on it. It's just keeping your signature ally that's stuck in prison. You don't have the access to those. But other than that, as like a game as a whole, it's not really affecting you at all.
My question I didn't ask was, what do you think of the improved conditions, the cards?
You want to
So
go
this is
straight to the
awkward for
hero
you.
stuff.
But no, let's go back to the Hydra prison. I agree. I do like that if you didn't do it, there's a consequence.
And
If
I
you're
mean,
engaged with the enemy, there's a consequence. I like that.
yeah, because, if you played in a way to like, oh, we just need to end this game, you went straight for Zola and you left,
Yep.
two, three minions out on the board, just not dealing with them, there are consequences for that. It was nice. I like that.
Yeah. So I definitely think this scenario helped actually make a difference on what you're doing with the campaign, and not just, all right, here's the next setup, it's the same. Here's the next setup, it's the same. But this is going to lead into something greater. So, yeah, for the improved conditions, those upgrades, flipping them, the I mean, you don't gain any more health, you don't gain any more basic additions, like basic power additions, but you gain a response that's unique to each one. And I really like that. I think the biggest crime is that you only get to use them for one scenario, but it's very helpful to be able to do the response that matches the type of upgrade you got. And I think they all draw a card. That's pretty great.
Yeah, I liked those. My thoughts are the same as yours. It just kind of stinks that you get it for one final scenario and it's done. And some are probably better than others, like especially going for this campaign, going into a Red Skull with side schemes. The
Oh,
Thor
yeah.
one is like overpowered.
And I think this campaign, not campaign, but the box introduced, oh, shoot. What's the protection card or the justice card that lets you draw after a side scheme?
How they
Bait
clear the area.
investigator.
Oh, clinical, skilled
Clinical.
investigator.
Skilled investigator. Thank you. Clinical investigator.
That's a nickname
Yeah,
entirely.
that combined with the Thor one, drawing two cards for a side scheme going into Red Skull, that's pretty powerful.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Let's see how Red Skull does in the
Well,
campaign.
let's see what those downsides and those penalties are. Finally, we get something other than just put these two cards into play.
Yes, thankfully. So let's see. Same thing. It's your setup, your experimental weapons, but here's the kicker. Place X threat counters on the main scheme, where X is the number of delay counters recorded in the campaign log. It says place X per player instead if you are playing an expert campaign.
Because didn't we determine that you could potentially, I don't know if there was ever like an official ruling or anything, but like you could potentially start with the main scheme already popped, right?
Yes. If you have too many delay counters, they can pop it,
Yeah.
which is not great.
Right.
And just like for everyone to know, because we just talked about, like, if you're engaged with a minion, record it. That is for expert only.
Yes.
You have to engage. Oh no,
Get a
you deal
counter
yourself an
card.
encounter card. Yeah.
And
So.
then this one also, the expert, like if you lose all that hard work, you're just done. You just lose the campaign and you're done.
Yes.
You don't get to
Yeah.
replay it.
I do find it interesting that the consequence from the second scenario now comes into play for the fifth scenario.
I do
I
like that
like
though.
it and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate that. Well, so what's your other method is like one goes straight into the other consequence, or you don't like to see it kind of down the line, down the timeline?
I like that it's down the line, but I think what it is I like the idea of it being down the line, but there's nothing between there and now.
Okay,
If it was
I would
something else,
agree. For this one, I would agree.
yeah, in this campaign, it would just be nice if there was something else between them.
I would agree.
So But that's it. That's the only thing you do in a normal setup. And then, of course, the victory, you win.
Right. I mean, victory, you win. Congratulations. Read the last page.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really reflecting back on this campaign. I have very fond memories of it, but like as a campaign itself, it really, I feel like it's lacking.
Oh no. Your eyes have been opened.
Oh no.
I would agree. Like, there are definitely some campaigns that we'll talk about that feel very, the campaign is like, oh, this is good. And you probably know which ones those are. But this one just feels like it was barely above just like playing the five scenarios separate, or together.
Yes.
Because there was very little penalties on, and even like penalties is like a weird word, because like even if you win and everything, or even if you don't mat, beat a certain thing, I still like it when there's some consequence either way that's being added, whether that's like a tiny consequence or like a big consequence, as you're progressing through it. Because I feel like with this one in particular, we kind of pointed out, it felt like it was very hero dominant on the positives in the like scaling. The heroes got really strong, but the villains didn't really match it. It was like, okay, throw this one random one or two or three, experimental weapons into the deck, and they might come into play at some point in your game.
Yeah. In this particular campaign, like especially with the card pools and heroes we have now, I would recommend if you play it to play, if you don't want to play expert, fine, but play like your standard setup, but include the expert part that talks about the expert campaign set, the obligations, because that at least adds a little bit extra to it.
Now, I think the obligations, this one was a little different. Like, if the whole thing with the expert here, too, is that your health would stay the same. Whatever health you ended the game with, the previous scenario, you would start with in the next scenario. And I think you could take an obligation in order to heal yourself, but then you had to start the game with dealing with that obligation.
Yeah, I believe that's mostly accurate. I can't remember perfectly off the top of my head.
Just go with
Okay, we'll just go with it.
it.
But yeah, so for you, for not having to experience like the other LCGs, what do you think of the campaign experience after this?
In the moment, I liked it. I liked having the interconnected story, even though in this box it felt like it was mostly the story that was interconnected. There wasn't as much cause and effect, but I liked that it flowed from one to the other, and you could kind of see the progression of working through some of the camp or some of the scenarios. I don't know. It made a good first impression for me, even though it's not like the greatest campaign. It made a good first impression for the concept of campaigns for me.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's as a like a mechanically the campaign, it's really not that crazy. It's very simple, and probably leans more onto player benefit. But that was like this is the first one. I have such fond memories of this campaign, especially we played the whole thing, and that was incredibly fun. And then you read the comics, and the story was all connected with each scenario. It was amazing. I don't know if it holds up as well, but that first impression still is going strong, I think, for the game, for at least for me.
Yeah, this is definitely one that, I think it would be fun to play through again. Continue to play through it. And that's the one thing I like about the game, right? Like, if you wanted to play all the scenarios independently, you could totally do that. If you wanted to play it as a campaign, you could totally do that. I mean, I'm holding out hope that this investment that I've made in this game, something I'm going to be able to hold on to, and then 5 to 7 years when I have a child that's old enough to like really appreciate this game, this is all going to be new to them.
Yeah.
And that, and be able to like see that first time experience, them experience that, and then me being able to kind of relive that through them is something that excites me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and I think as a first campaign, it checks a lot of boxes. It's simple for new players. It has the story. It has fun bonuses when you do well. Changes the scenario very little, but enough to make it easy for newer players. So it's a solid. At that time, it was the best campaign box.
It's the best one they had out
It's the
yet.
best one they had.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say as a campaign, I think I should say this. As the first campaign box, I think it did its job.
Yeah. It made a good first impression. It didn't set the bar like too high by any means, but it was good. And it was my like first experience of like cards having like errors on them and like the campaign rules
Yeah.
and some of the scenario cards like differing a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I remember
Ah, yes.
was looking at a, here's a fun little thing, looking at the credits on the manual or whatever. It says playtesters. It's got Tony on there. So, was once a playtester, now a designer.
Hey, hell yeah, there he is. Cool. Cool.
So, yeah, I think that's all I got to say about the first campaign. I'm excited to look at some of these other ones and how they evolve. So,
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think the overall campaigns for me are a positive. You know, it's if you don't like them, you don't gotta play them, right? I think there's definitely some that are better than others, but I think this is a good introduction.
yeah, I think this is definitely one of the boxes that does the best with, even though the campaign combines them as a story, individually they all make sense too. I don't know if I can say that for some of the other scenarios and some of the other campaign boxes. Little hint
Yeah.
hint right there.
Yes. Well, hopefully we'll get to those in a future episode. And if you like campaigns, or if you don't like campaigns, we want to hear about it. And you can reach out to us at marvelchampionspod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, we appreciate everybody listening. Go out and give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. And if you want to go from a chump to a champ, listen to the Marvel Champions podcast. Thanks.
Don't tell Hydra.